Wonder what you're dreaming about. What's the first one? I'm dreaming of. It's Christmas and it's white. There we go. Bad Christmas jokes. I wonder if you're dreaming or hoping for snow this Christmas. Maybe you are dreaming or hoping for a perfect Christmas present, or hoping that the Christmas present that you've bought or are planning to buy is the perfect one for the person that you want to give it to. Maybe you are hoping for, dreaming of a Christmas proposal. Nice. Maybe your dream, your hope this Christmas is to be well, or for a loved one to be well, to be healthy, maybe for a friendship or relationship to be restored. These are hopes or dreams. And for people to know Jesus, thank you, Nikki. It is a big one, these are hopes and dreams. Maybe when we think about dreams, you liken yourself to the line in O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's dreamless sleep. And life just continues. The silent stars go by. It's deep and dreamless sleep. You don't have many hopes. Now, I want to just say about dreams and hopes that in that carol, the O Little Town of Bethlehem, it says, our hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. All of the hopes of the world, all of the anxiety and fears of the world can be met in Jesus, can be cast onto Jesus, and he will bring about the hopes and dreams if it's in accordance with his will. Now, when we talk about dreams, I'm not necessarily speaking about ambitions and hopes, dreams this morning. I'm talking about God speaking when we're sleeping. What if it is true that God speaks? And what if it is true that, like when he spoke to Joseph in a dream whilst he was asleep, God could speak to us in a dream whilst we sleep? So, if you would like to fall asleep in this sermon, feel free, as long as you pray, God speak to me. I believe that God speaks. I believe that God can use anything, anyhow, to speak to people and share something about himself. He can even use the weird things that our minds bring up, also known as dreams, to speak to us. Webster's New World College Dictionary says that a dream is a sequence of sensations, images, thoughts, etc., passing through a sleeping person's mind. Maybe dreams are our mind processing things. Depending on the psychologist, determines what dreams are. So I had dreams about mountains last night. And someone came up to me, great talk on mountains. I'm thinking, when did I do a sermon series on mountains? It was weird. And sometimes dreams are weird. Who's had a weird dream? Just a few people. Now, when we sleep, somehow, during the rapid eye movements, periods of sleep, we often dream or can dream. We don't know fully what those dreams are or why we do them, but we know from scripture and from experience that God can speak through dreams whilst we sleep. And it might be that you've never had that experience of God speaking to you through a dream. So maybe you're relying just on what is going to be read to you now as an example of God speaking to someone through a dream. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 or use the QR code to go onto the YouVersion Bible app, and we're reading from verse 18 to 25, and Julia is going to read for us.
Morning. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Bible today. The birth of Jesus, the Messiah. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break his engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
So much of the Christmas story is focused in on Jesus, good. And so many occasions the story is told from Mary's perspective, or the shepherds or the wise men and things like that. Joseph is often a quiet character in the background. Maybe in scriptures we don't hear as much about Joseph because he has died before Jesus becomes an adult and goes to the cross and is resurrected and things. But there are some really helpful observations that are good to make about Joseph. And we're going to have a look at this passage and see some things that we learn about Joseph, but also, as we unpack the dream, there are things that we can learn about God and how he speaks. So in verse 19, we see that Joseph is faithful to the law and is gracious to Mary. Now, he has just heard that his fiancé, his betrothed, or the person that he's betrothed to marry, is pregnant, and he hasn't done it. And the law would state, and he would have known the law, that he should divorce her, break off the engagement, and actually the law specified that because of what she has done, adultery, she should be stoned, and whoever did it should also be stoned as well. Joseph was faithful to the law. He knew what he needed to do. Yet he loved Mary. And it says in verse 19, faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. And because of that, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So often I've read this about Joseph, but this Christmas, as I was reading through it, it was like, faithful to the law and gracious, faithful to truth and gracious. It's like in John chapter 1, verse 14, when Jesus is described as coming from God, God coming to earth and dwelling among us, full of truth and grace. Isn't it wonderful how God has put Jesus into a family where his earthly father will be like the son that is in the womb of his betrothed? Faithful to the law, truth, and grace. Gracious in terms of how he deals with Mary. We also see in verse 20 that he's a man who takes time considering things. Now, if you were sat next to your husband and he is someone who takes too long to consider things, just give him a nudge. Sometimes guys take too long deciding things. Sometimes we rush in and make a decision without thinking through things. Joseph was someone who had pondered on the predicament he was in. It says in verse 20, after he had considered what to do, basically. That word considered in the Greek is enthumeome. Isn't that wonderful? Greek and Hebrew, and looking at the original language, you can study it, but unless the Spirit actually highlights a word to focus in on, in order for us to go deeper with a message that he wants to bring, there's no point in learning the Greek and the Hebrew. So sometimes it's helpful to just go, God, is there a word, is there a phrase in this passage that you want us to go deeper into by your Holy Spirit? And you can look up online, BibleHub.com is one that I use, and it shows you the Greek or the Hebrew words, the phrases that the Bible was originally written in. And this word considering or considered, in the English, it's like, oh yeah, I thought it through, move on. But in the Greek, it's a deep emotional pondering, not a superficial considering. And Joseph, emotionally, because he loved Mary, but also emotionally because he loved the Lord and wanted to be faithful to the law, he had a deep emotional pondering. Enthumeome. Pondering deeply. And guys, whether you're someone who takes a long to consider things or you make decisions really, really quickly, let's be people who ponder deeply the things that are important and ponder deeply with God. Joseph didn't have any evidence to prove Mary's innocence or to prove Mary's guilt. It would have been such a difficult decision to make. If he had accused her of adultery, she would be exposed to shame and stoned to death. And if she was innocent and that happened, Joseph would be responsible for killing an innocent person. He needed to take time. And also, as we see in verse 23 and 24, he was open to God speaking to him and then obedient and faithful with what God said. Let's unpack the dream to go a little bit further into what God says and how Joseph responds and how God can speak to us. First of all, God gets Joseph's attention. Joseph, son of David. He calls his name and cuts through the weirdness of other dreams. Sometimes you're in a dream and it's just weird. And then other dreams are so clear and it feels like, whoa, was that real or was it a dream? And what God does is he speaks in so that Joseph knows this is a real dream, but not a mind making it up. This is a real moment of encountering God, calling his name, Joseph, son of David. Why would Joseph, son of David, why would that name got Joseph's attention? Well, his surname wasn't son of David. He was Joseph the carpenter. Joseph, originally from Bethlehem, but working in Nazareth, he was just Joseph. But because God addresses him as Joseph, son of David, Joseph would have paid attention because he knew scriptures and knew that title, that lineage, which Matthew records earlier on in chapter 1, would have meant something important that God was going to say. But I want to just pause and ask this question, because it's good to ask questions about scripture. Has anyone ever wondered why God visits Mary with an angel in the daytime, but he met with Joseph through a dream whilst he slept? Anyone ever wondered that before? Or is this the first time that you're thinking of it? Why did God do that? Why didn't God just go to Joseph as soon as Mary had gone, hey, Joseph, you know we're engaged, well, I'm pregnant and it's God's. Why didn't God immediately there and then, or even before that conversation, why didn't God say, hey, Joseph, Mary's going to come in a few moments and it's going to be my son that she's talking about? God waited until Joseph was asleep. After he had pondered for a while over these things, a deep pondering and thinking through things. Why did God choose to speak to him through a dream and not in an angel kind of visitation during the daytime? If you have an answer for that, could you... No. The Bible doesn't say. And when we ask questions of the Bible, sometimes it isn't clear. And it's really important to recognize that that's okay. So what we do is we look through the rest of the Bible and think, okay, God, is there an answer that we can get from Scripture, maybe a principle that we can apply to answer this question? This is the principle and answer that I have got from Scripture and from experience, that God speaks to people in the way that we will listen to him and hear him most clearly in that situation at that time. Joseph, for example. Mary comes to him and says, I'm pregnant and it's God's. If God had spoken to him there and then, with all of the emotions going through his mind and things like that, if I was in Joseph's sandals, I wouldn't have been able to hear and listen to God and take it on board. I would have simply gone off, to quiet space to calm down and to process things. I wouldn't have been able to hear God clearly. If God had spoken before Mary had come, maybe I would have just gone, no, that's too far-fetched. God wouldn't choose Mary or me to have baby Jesus. So God chooses the right timing when Joseph has come to a decision, and it's the decision to divorce. Oh, hang on, is that the right timing? How does God choose that as the right timing? Why didn't he do it before? Well, actually, I think Joseph would have been pondering and pondering and pondering. And he'd come to a conclusion, but it was the wrong conclusion. And it was the wrong conclusion because if Joseph had divorced Mary quietly, the legal claim to the throne of David that Jesus has would not have come through his earthly father's line. Because although Mary was a daughter of David, as in from the house of Bethlehem, from David's lineage, as we read in Luke's gospel, it was through Joseph that he gets the legal claim to the throne of David as a son of David. We see that in the lineage in Matthew 1 to 16. So God intervenes in the moment that was needed, that intervention was needed. And he spoke in to a situation when the decision that Joseph was going to make was the wrong one. I wonder if there are situations where you are still pondering and God hasn't spoken into it yet. I wonder if there are things that you are seeking God on and he hasn't spoken into it yet because God's timing for him to reveal clearly isn't quite there yet. Can I encourage you to keep waiting and keep seeking after God and listening to him about that? But it might be that there are situations that you are coming to a conclusion over, and God is going to speak in a precise moment to change the direction of something because the decision that you're making, maybe without God, is going to be the wrong one. And from this, we see that God speaks into a certain situation at a specific time. And he says, do not be afraid. Now, what does do not be afraid mean? Well, in a lot of settings with the angels, don't be afraid because there are angels in front of you. The shepherds, fear not. Angel Gabriel visiting Mary, fear not. This one, though, is saying to Joseph in the dream, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And with Joseph, God speaks, do not be afraid in the dream, and follows it with an instruction. And in chapter 2 of Matthew, in a dream, again, Joseph is met by an angel from God, and it's, go somewhere, go somewhere. And it isn't, do not be afraid of the angel. It's, don't be afraid, go and do something. And it, the way that God speaks to Joseph is different from the way that the angels speak to the shepherds and to Mary. It's not the about the reassurance from, not about fearing the angel's appearance, but reassurance about sticking with Mary. And the angel explains what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then he's instructed to give the name Jesus to the baby because he'll save his people from their sins. Now, last week, there was a question that someone asked, what name should we use for Jesus? Because in this passage, as you see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, he's given the name Jesus, but is also going to be called Emmanuel. So which one is it, Emmanuel or Jesus? Well, whilst we're about it, let's look at in Luke as well, because Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and 32 says that he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, we see that Jesus is the Messiah. So what do we call him? Now, there's a difference between title and name. And you'll notice in the NIV and the NLT that Julia read from, it says he will be called Emmanuel, but given the name Jesus. Now, you might think, well, that doesn't have any difference at all. What you're called is your name. Well, no, there's a difference between a title and a name. And with this, it's really important. You cannot have Emmanuel, God with us, without Jesus, God save us. You can't fully have God with you unless your sin is dealt with. You can't have the presence of God fully in your life unless Jesus cleans up your sin and removes it from you. So it's really important that we notice these differences, that he's called Jesus. That's it. So his name is Jesus. We call him Jesus. His title is Emmanuel. And when we come up with passages like this, we look at the wording that is used and think, well, what do these names mean? And often it says in the Bible, when we really need to pay attention, that he'll save his people from his sins, the definition of Jesus, and also Emmanuel, which means God with us. We cannot have relationship, intimacy, closeness with God unless he sorts out and cleanses our sins. So, where does this land us this morning? We've seen that God got Joseph's attention. He says, don't be afraid. There's clarification and explanation and confirmation. And then there's instruction and Joseph is obedient. I just want to say a few things about the fact that God speaks and how we can listen to him. This isn't a full session on listening to God. We will develop times or kind of put times in for us to have some teaching on that. But I just want to say that God is still using dreams around the world and in this country to speak to people. And it's not limited to people from the Muslim faith. But time after time after time, God speaks to people who are far from him in closed countries or closed situations who may not even be seeking after him, but God will use dreams to speak to them. And Isa al-Masih, which is Jesus Messiah in the Quran, Jesus Messiah in Arabic, often appears to people from a Muslim faith in dreams, a man in white who rescues them from something or who gives them an indescribable sense of peace, proclaims forgiveness of sins and points them towards scripture, the Bible. Now, you might think, well, yeah, that's just anecdotal evidence. But actually, if you look into academic journals, this is being documented as something that is happening time after time after time. And I had the honor of reading an article this week from a theologian in St. Andrew's University who's a Muslim and who's documenting this as Isa al-Masi, the Jesus Messiah, who's meeting Muslims in dreams and leading them to himself. God's still doing it. And God is fulfilling Isaiah 65, verse 1, where it says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. God is still using dreams, and he could speak to you this evening as you go to sleep. But he also speaks in different ways. We could start listing them off in the Bible. Burning bush, through a storm, through a donkey, through his son, through dreams, through a whisper. But what we need to remember is that God isn't confined to how he speaks or who he speaks to or when he speaks. We just need to make sure that we're listening and we're open and attentive. And I've put a whole load of Bible verses about seeking after God and being attentive to him and seeking to listen to him. But basically, if we hear God speaking to us, or if we just get a sense that the dream that we had is from God, we should be praying from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And that's the first verse that's there. These are some things that may be of help. If God can speak to Joseph in dreams, could he speak to me? If you want to hear God, can I encourage you to slow down a bit, to hear him more clearly? And that might be one of the hardest things to do, but slowing down helps you become more attentive to God. Something that Shona said a few weeks ago when she was interviewed along with Jill. Can you remember that? And so many people said, actually, that in the interview, there were so many nuggets to take away. And one of them was how we need to go slower in order to be more attentive to his spirit. How can you do that this Advent? Maybe go into the prayer room and say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. Maybe just before you go to sleep, which is a time where you definitely slow down, speak to me through my dreams. Be attentive and expectant. Maybe you are so expectant that you put a little notepad and pen next to your bedside, not your phone, because making notes on your phone, the light will wake you up completely and things like that. But maybe scribble down some notes, get a pen and paper next to your bedside. But if we want to hear God's voice, we also need to open scripture and open our hearts. Opening scripture, God will speak as we open the Bible and ask his spirit to speak to us. But also everything he says, whether it's through a burning bush or a dream or through a donkey or directly to us or through someone else, he will never contradict what it says in scripture. How do I know that? Well, I know it from personal testimony, but also from Joseph's testimony. He knew that the virgin, that God's Messiah will come through a virgin birth. He knew that because he was faithful to the scriptures and he knew what God had said. So when the angel said that the virgin will give birth, then Joseph went, yeah, I accept that. He knew that the Messiah would be from the house of David. He knew that God with us would be the title given to him, given to the child. He knew that the Holy Spirit would be involved in this conception. God never will contradict scripture when he speaks to us. So let's open our Bibles and weigh things up as we have dreams or listen to him. And finally, let's open our hearts. I made reference earlier on to O little town of Bethlehem. O little village of Chalfont. How busy we are. Above thy deep and dream-filled. Now this is a prayer for us as a church. that we have deep and dream-filled sleep. Some of you go, yeah, I want some deep sleep. But actually, my heart as a pastor and my heart as a follower of Jesus is that every single one of us have deep and dream-filled sleep this Christmas with Jesus, that he speaks to you and we listen to him. That whilst life goes by, in the darkness, the light of Jesus will permeate. Whatever situation you're in, that the light of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the truth of Jesus would permeate. And your hopes and your fears are given over to him. He's big enough to cope with all anxiety, all fears. And in him, all the hopes of the world is found. Let's pray as the band come and lead a song over us. And then during the song after that, during the song Build My Life, we'll take up an offering for the work of God that is from this place and in this place. Let's pray together as the band come up. Father God, in scripture and in my life and in my brother and sister's lives in this room and online, we know that you are God who speaks, God who reveals. We know that that is who you are and that is your heart. And we pray, God, that you will speak into each person's heart and mind and situation today. We believe that you already have been speaking and bringing hope and calming fears as they brought those hopes and fears to you. I pray, God, that over this Christmas time, you will give us deep and dream-filled sleep. And for those who are in our community, even in our families who do not yet know you or who have wandered from you, give them deep sleep, but also give them dream-filled sleep, so that you, by your Holy Spirit, are entering into their dreams and giving them clarity about who you are and what they need to do as a result. Speak, Lord. Your church and this community, I pray, is listening. Amen.